This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
A week ago, right? We found out that we found out that the Marlins players, four of them had tested positive for COVID-19. Then they made the decision before the game on Sunday they were still going to play rather than cancel or postpone that game. They played and they knew they had cases that were positive. And that turned into now they have 18 players so far that have tested positive. 60% of their roster has tested positive for COVID-19, let alone a few members of their staff, the traveling party that have tested positive. And how that affects things, and the Phillies, and that's who they played there, or they played the Nationals their opening series, and or I should say the Phillies, and how that affects them, and everything else is just growing. It's kind of crazy how this is all shaking out. But these are the pitfalls that you get into in the world of sports right now in a pandemic. Nothing's going to be easy. There are no easy decisions to be made, and policies are not easy to implement. This is really difficult. And when you're trying to navigate through it without having a bubble situation like the NBA has, like the NHL is going to do, it's totally different. Let's talk with the Major League Baseball players going through this right now. Trevor Bauer joins us from the Cincinnati Reds. Trevor, thank you very much for taking some time out today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
We've been talking about it all morning because the story broke like an hour ago. I'm not sure if you've heard about it, but I assume you have. That now we've got reports that two St. Louis Cardinal players have tested positive for COVID-19 and they've canceled their game tonight, or I should say postponed their game tonight. How do you feel how Major League Baseball has handled this restart of baseball in the pandemic?
Well, that's a complicated question because there's so many things that go into it. I think overall, it's been handled fairly well. That's the second team that's really had, I guess you can't even consider the Cardinals now an outbreak yet. Soto tested positive with the Nationals and a couple players with the Reds had, were suspected of having symptoms or whatever, but it's been pretty muted other than obviously the Marlins situation, which got a little bit out of control. Now, on that one, I don't think they had a plan in place for how to handle it if an outbreak happened on the road, how to get players back home, if they're going to keep them in the city that they were at for 14 days. What does that do for the team? Do you have to have medical personnel or team personnel there in the city and back with the home with the main club back in the home city or wherever they travel to next? So I think that one kind of caught him off guard. There wasn't really any protocol there. Some stuff that happened with our team where people were suspected of having some symptoms and stayed home as precautionary reasons. Turned out that they didn't have a positive test. They tested negative, and then they tested negative again. So they passed the two tests. But then MLB was saying they still couldn't come back to the field for another couple days when they'd passed all the protocols. I think there's some things that have definitely happened that caught him off guard. So it's been kind of a mixed bag, but overall I think it's a positive thing that baseball's back and that it's being played on a whole. The majority of the games have got off with a relatively no issues. So I think that's a positive for the league.
How different is it for you and your teammates? You go out onto the field, you take on another team, and there's nobody in the stands. You've got the crowd noise. It's kind of piped in, but I imagine it's a vastly different atmosphere than what you're accustomed to.
Yeah, it is. I don't notice it that much because, for me personally, when I get in a game, I'm pretty good at tuning all that stuff out, and it's just a competition between me and the hitter, which is the same thing that's going on now. You know, I can put myself in that mindset. I know some guys that really rely on the crowd, but we've all played in different environments. We've played in front of very few fans on a Wednesday, getaway day. We played in front of a sold-out crowd on opening day. So we've had experience with varying crowd sizes and varying crowd loudnesses, so to speak. Some crowds are more into the game than others. So it hasn't been that weird, to be honest. Mainly just a couple times where you feel like you can actually yell at someone on the field and they might hear you.
Trevor, I know you said you're focused mostly on the batter, and as you should be, but does it matter to you, or do you notice at all behind the batter and the umpire and the catcher does it matter to you if you see a cardboard cutout, a tarp with an ad on it, or empty seats, or does that not even affect you at all?
To be honest, I haven't noticed it one single bit. Not a single time have I noticed like the backdrop behind the plate. It's not something that's caught my eye.
How did you get yourself geared back up during this, during the whole time? There's so much downtime. Because you had gone through a spring training, then you had this, 3-4 month shutdown in between. How did you keep yourself in shape? Did you keep yourself in as good a shape as you thought you would? Would you have done things differently?
No, I think I nailed it. I hit it pretty much on the head. When everything shut down originally, I looked at it and I was like, well, we're probably not going to have any sort of baseball before June at the earliest, probably more so in July. I thought the season would be back early July. So I missed that by a couple weeks, but I put myself back to an off-season training program. So I went through, strength in the weight room and cycled into more power and then speed. So I added a lot of strength, understanding that I only had to pitch, for 60 games this year. Plus potentially playoffs. So I prepared myself a little differently than I normally would, a little bit less volume, a little bit more strength. But I'm really happy with where I'm at. I came into summer camp in a really good spot. I worked on my command a lot and made a lot of improvements on that, which has been something that's plagued me kind of over my career. So I'm excited to see how that continues to play out. I thought my command was really good in my first start. So I was able to keep myself in shape. I was fortunate I was in Arizona, which was didn't lock down nearly as much as some parts of the country. And so I was able to get into a gym. I was able to get in to a squat rack. I have a couple of buddies out there who have some equipment in their garage and stuff like that we were able to utilize in a safe way, depending on what the regulations were in Arizona at the time. So I was relatively unaffected other than it just being a different schedule and, kind of an odd time to have an off season, so to speak.
What's your take on the Joe Kelly suspension with the Dodgers after, throwing behind a hitter and then throwing narrowly missing a hitter's head, but didn't hit either of the guys, jaws at the guy, has some comments for him, and he gets suspended for 8 games?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to unpack there. I think the most important thing to say is there's no room in baseball for throwing at someone's head intentionally. There's absolutely nothing that can happen on a baseball field that's worth risking someone's life, their lifelong health, their quality of life, stuff like that. And getting hit in the face, getting hit in the head with baseball thrown that hard is definitely something that can be life-altering. So that's the first place to start. Now, whether Joe threw it at Alex and Correa, I'm not sure. I'm not in the clubhouse. I don't know exactly what was going on in his head or anything like that. I think 8 games is pretty harsh, especially against the backdrop of only playing 60 games this year. Now, it was agreed upon that all suspensions would be normal suspensions. They wouldn't be kind of prorated suspensions to account for 60 games. So if the precedent sets that, this act is worth 5 games normally, then it would be 5 games this year. That was talked about. I think MLB, I think Dusty Baker did a fairly smart thing going and petitioning MLB early on, saying, look, like, my guys are going to get thrown at. You need to protect them. So there's heightened awareness on that, obviously. I think that the suspension was too long. I don't think Dave Roberts should have been suspended at all. I understand the manager has to, you know, be responsible for what goes on with his team, but I think, you know, suspending Dave was a little bit out there. And I think MLB really weakened their argument for why they were going to suspend him by bringing up past history and the taunting as reasons why they viewed it as intentional. Like, just because someone who has been suspended in the past for throwing at someone or for hitting someone doesn't necessarily mean that they did it this time. I mean, one of the pitches that went, kind of behind Correa's head was a breaking ball. So it's tough to say that someone's intentionally throwing a breaking ball at someone's head. And then to start saying that the taunting afterwards and the talk, the words, were proof that he did it on purpose, I think that really weakens their argument, because he struck out Correa on a breaking ball. And, you know, what he supposedly said and jawing back and forth is something that happens during every single game, whether it's coming from the dugout, whether it's coming from the mound of a hitter, whether it's, you know, a hitter gets, you know, hits a home run and says something to the pitcher as they're running bases. Like, this stuff happens all the time. Now, obviously, there's tension between the Dodgers and the Astros, and so the temperature rose pretty quickly there. I think MLB's best argument would just be to say, we deem that the 3-0 pitch to Bregman was intentional. There's no place for that, and you're suspended, period. So those are kind of my thoughts. For everyone saying that, you know, the Astros deserve to be thrown at, and this is what they, you know, they're finally getting theirs or whatever, I don't agree with that. I mean, I don't agree with how the suspensions were handed out and how the whole thing was handled, but it's in the past now. It's time to play baseball. Like I said, to start this answer off, like, nothing that happens on a baseball field is worth someone's life. So the best way to go about, getting revenge or payback is beat the Astros and then do some taunting. But don't throw at people. You know, remind them that they cheated. Remind them they cheated baseball, that they harmed people financially, that they harmed the integrity of the league. Small little jabs like that via, you know, social media, via media, whatever the case may be, are fine. But, you know, it's a constant reminder, which gets more annoying than having one pitch thrown at you anyway. So that would be my way of handling it.
Ultimately, I love what Joe Kelly had to say afterwards, because as a fan, and we like to hear what happens, that we like to hear the words that are going back and forth, and it was kind of fun. But you're involved in something that we have talked a lot about on our show, and that is how to grow the game of baseball and to appeal to a younger fan base. And you launched a media company called Momentum. Talk about what the impetus was for that, and where you'd like to see it go, and what are the obstacles to appeal to the younger audience, and how do you get it to appeal to a younger audience?
Yeah, so the main thing is I watched for many years. You know, baseball was not popular in high school. When I played in high school, it wasn't popular, and I got into, you know, pro ball, and baseball traditionally has an older fan base, and I didn't see much of that changing, and I identified that as a problem often in the future. If you can't generate young, new fans, like, your sport doesn't have the popularity it currently has off in the future. So around 2018, I was talking to my best friend, Tyke, and we just decided that, like, if no one else is going to do something to help grow the game, that we're gonna do it. So Momentum exists to connect fans and players on a human level. And I think that's really how you get the younger fans interested and you grow the game, as you show people that these players are just like them, and you give the young baseball players out there some hope that, you know, they could one day be big leaguers. I grew up going to Dodger Stadium, and I would look out there on the field with my dad, and I'd say, man, those guys they're superstars. And they were, but they almost had this extraterrestrial feel to them. Like, it was not achievable. I had no idea. I was like, man, if I could just one day be a big leaguer, that would be so awesome. But it wasn't a tangible goal. So I didn't know anything about the players. I didn't know that, you know, they ate cereal in the morning, or they wore the same type of shoes that I did, or they played video games or anything like that. And the more that those young fans get to understand that, oh, this guy does some of the same things I do. Like, I really like his fashion, and I'm big into fashion, and, or, like, I played the same video game, or, like, maybe I played on Twitch with him or something like that. But it creates a lot of interest with young fans, and it creates a lot of belief that they could become, you know, future big leaguers. And that's really where it starts, is inspiring, entertaining and connecting with those young fans in a way that they can understand, which is not just on-field play, but life.
Well, keep it up, Trevor Bauer. We appreciate it. I love the game of baseball. I love the idea of appealing to a younger audience, and we can grow that audience. Best of luck to you in the future. You're pitching tomorrow against the Tigers. Not too much good luck tomorrow against our Tigers, but best of luck the rest of the season.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You guys got me last time, so hopefully I can flip that around.
All right. Thanks, Trevor. Appreciate it.
All right, later.
All right, it's Trevor Bauer, pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. He had a lot to say about what's going on in baseball. He's an interesting dude. He's a guy that's very data-driven when it comes to how he approaches the game. It's almost, I wonder if he's kind of like, you know, Bryson DeChambeau is to golf, Trevor Bauer is to pitching, with looking at all the analytics and all that and numbers type guy. Nonetheless, he had some interesting things to say.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.